SaaS Open Mic is brought to you by ChartMogul. SaaS startups like Typeform, Pipedrive, and Instapage use ChartMogul to centralize and analyze their subscription billing and customer data. Go to chartmogul.com and sign up for a free trial today. And if you're just starting out, ChartMogul is free for businesses with less than $10,000 in monthly recurring revenue. That's chartmogul.com for a free trial. Welcome back to a new season of SaaS Open Mic. It's been a while and we've got so much to bring you this season, so let's get straight into it. This episode will be huge for anyone who wants to understand SaaS marketing. Claire Solentrop and Georgiana Laudi are both seasoned veterans in the world of B2B marketing. Claire was director of marketing and employee number two at Calendly. She helped the product grow to over 400K monthly users and millions in revenue. And then since leaving Calendly, she now helps high growth SaaS companies get inside their customers' heads and increase conversions along their sales, marketing, and onboarding funnels. Gia was an early employee and VP of marketing at Unbounce, where she helped grow revenue by 900% in her first 3 years, scale her team from one person to 35 people, and go from under 1 million in revenue to over 15 million. That's all without any major funding. Together, they run a site called Forget the Funnel. And Forget the Funnel is a series of resources and weekly workshops helping marketers build and own the marketing strategy for their SaaS business. So in this far-reaching conversation, we talk about why startups' approach to marketing is so often an afterthought and how that actually impacts the first few marketing hires in the business. We talk about what Forget the Funnel really means and why there's a better approach to SaaS marketing, and what the high-performing marketers they feature on their site have in common, and what makes them stand out from the crowd. And finally, how SaaS marketers can focus on what matters in 2018 and beyond, and what's relevant for marketing in general. I hope you enjoy the episode. Here's my conversation with Claire and Gia of Forget the Funnel. So Gia and Claire, thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely, we're happy to be here.
Both of you have extensive backgrounds in marketing, and I feel like you're really an excellent resource for marketers in the SaaS space who are perhaps unsure of what they're doing or encountering difficulties. I've certainly read a lot of what you publish. So yeah, perhaps Gia, if you could start and just describe what you do quickly, that would be great.
Sure. So what I do right now, my two main focuses are on Forget the Funnel, which you mentioned. So co-hosting those weekly workshops. And those, like you said, are dedicated to helping SaaS marketers really sort of be more effective at work. And it's something that Claire and I are both super passionate about. So it was really natural that that's the topic that we would cover. A large part of the reason why we're so passionate about it is because we've both been in that situation before. So my background is in marketing, and I've been in marketing for 15 years. In SaaS in particular, it's been more like 8 or 9. So I was freelance for a little while in the sort of startup space, and SaaS was a big part of that. And then in 2012, I joined Unbounce, and I was there for 5 years, and I left at the beginning of 2017 as the VP marketing, and basically started off on my own on sort of the consulting side of things. And now I focus my work entirely with my company on working one-on-one with marketers at SaaS companies. And I sort of function as this like half mentor, half coach to sort of help them navigate, those early days and the things that I was very challenged with at the time. And if there is no marketer in place at a given company that reaches out to me, then a lot of times I will actually have one-on-one calls with the founders and help them sort of develop that high level marketing strategy, define who it is that they're looking for to lead their marketing. And then I will help them find and sort of vet that marketer and help onboard them.
You said like 8 or 9 years in SaaS specifically.
Yeah.
I mean that as a SaaS timeline, I don't know if you look back 8 or 9 years, that's pretty much the beginning of cloud software.
I know. Right? Yeah.
I'm assuming you've seen an awful lot of change over that time period.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I obviously paying particularly close attention to like the MarTech space, unreal, even in just the span of 5 years from first joining Unbounce to what the MarTech space looks like now is insane.
Yeah, I mean, it would be good to dive into that a little bit later, maybe. How about you, Claire? Could you describe quickly what you're up to and what you've been doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So I do a number of different things, and I'll try to focus here on what's most, I guess, relevant to SaaS and specifically to SaaS marketing. Alongside Gia, I'm co-host of Forget the Funnel, which we started, as she mentioned, really to help kind of fill the gap in resources that a lot of initial marketers or first marketers, so to speak, at SaaS companies are looking for. And as mentioned, we can discuss that further on. But alongside co-hosting Forget the Funnel, I'm doing a couple of other things. So on the client side, I work with SaaS companies in two different regards. So the first is those that are quite early stage. And often these are, a set of founders who've been working on a product. They have a product background and they really need help getting strategic about deciding which marketing channels they're going to focus on first and test. A lot of times they've been, just kind of throwing tactics at the wall to see what sticks, which I know is quite common. It's a group of product people who are like, okay, we've got this thing and now we need to set up some ads and send people to it, or we need to start a blog, or we need to hire someone to do SEO for us. But it feels very disjointed. For companies that are in the early stage days, I help them really set a foundation for their marketing and figure out, okay, who are, on a deeper level, who are the people we're trying to reach? Where do those people spend time? How do they learn? And how do we actually get to them in a way that's a bit more thoughtful and intentional? And then for companies that are higher growth, right? So they've got traction, they are way past product market fit, they're trying to reach some bigger milestones. I actually go in and I did a lot of this last year, my first year of consulting. I'll actually tackle quite a bit of customer research for them. So what I've noticed is that a lot of companies, once they reach a point at which they do have traction and they have figured out kind of who their audience is and what initial marketing strategies work, they get to a point at which they realize, okay, we think we know who we're talking to. We got a pretty good idea, but there's a lot of details we're still missing, right? So we're not entirely sure if our messaging is on point. We're not entirely sure if we're playing up the correct benefits of the product. There's a lot we still don't know about our audience, but everyone internal, everyone's hair is still on fire, right? So there's still not a lot of bandwidth for someone inside the company to take on a big research project and do customer interviews and pull insights from that. So I serve more of a specialist role for high growth clients that I work with, where I'll come in and I'll help them identify who their ideal customers are. And then I'll get on the phone with those folks and really pull out some insights that'll further improve their marketing strategy, open them up to some new channels they may not have considered, and improve their positioning. So prior to that, I had been director of marketing at Calendly. And while there, I was actually part of that early stage journey. So I was the number two employee at the company. And a lot of what I did really actually focused on customer research and pulling out insights before I focused on traditional marketing metrics like new leads and more top of funnel stuff. So that really informed kind of the work that I've now done as a consultant. And so I balance my time between a number of projects, but I'd say those are probably the most relevant to our conversation.
So as I was reading through what a lot of the messaging that you have with Forget the Funnel, it really, in many ways, like resonated with me. And a lot of your messaging there is around the fact that like early and growth stage companies kind of tend to undervalue marketing. And that leaves kind of usually, especially at the really early stage, like a solo marketer who's just trying to figure out their way through this thing. Could you describe perhaps like how you came to realize that and why you think that is?
So in terms of kind of why early stage companies and growth stage companies really tend to undervalue marketing, what I've noticed is that approach of marketing being kind of secondary often comes alongside a set of founders who don't come from a marketing background, right? So it may be a group of founders who primarily come from a product background, or it may be that one founder is the product person and the other has a heavy sales history, but not so much a marketing history. The way that I think of it is the same way that I, as a marketer, really, I only understand the complexity of developing a product at a very surface level, right? So I know there's a lot of work involved. I know it's complex, but I don't really understand the depth of that because I haven't been in it and I myself am not building technical products. So if you reverse that, marketing can be viewed the same way, right? Marketing looks easy because we are all marketed to. And if someone wants to learn how to master a marketing tactic, there's 1,000 blog posts out there that can teach them that, or there's 12 ultimate guides for that. One of my favorite marketing leaders in the SaaS space is April Dunford. Gia, I know you can speak about how great she is as well. Mm-hmm. But she's given a number of talks where she's been brought in early stage to a company, and the founding team, you know, they bring her on and they're like, okay, hack me some growth hacker. So commonly, marketing is something that commonly is looked at as something that anyone can just do and get started doing and see results pretty quickly. And it's really not that hard. And because there's a lack of understanding around the fact that marketing is really an interwoven piece of the product and the entire experience, there's this misconception that marketing is something that we can just, you know, we can focus on that later. Right now, let's focus on building the product. And at some point, we'll bring on a marketing person and they can start a blog for us or they can write for us. So it's really a lack of understanding around how complex it is and how interwoven marketing is into the product itself. I know, Gia, you've said before, like, the idea of we let's build it and they will come is totally broken.
Right. Yeah. And it is relied on a lot, and it makes sense considering that most founders of companies don't have that marketing background. Exactly. Like you said, they have more of a technical or product focused sort of background. And yeah, it's hard to think of it as something that you need to do as of day one. Until, of course, the sort of end result of all of this, and Claire, I think you articulated it perfectly, but the end result of all of this is that at some point it becomes this emergency. At some point, the founders realize, like, oh, we should have been doing this. We should have started this 6 months ago. Or they get advice like, well, where is, you know, what's your acquisition strategy? Or, you know, they start having to answer questions that they can't answer. And then they realize, wow, we really got to get somebody in place.
Right. We need to get an audience. We need to get customers in this product. And it becomes this afterthought when really, when marketing and product are developed together, you're so much, as a founder, you're in such a better place because you're building an audience and learning from that audience as you create the product. So they can work in tandem really, really well, but they often don't.
In my experience, I think at the very early stage, it's very easy to ignore the marketing piece of the puzzle, because if you're launching a product, you know, you would generally generate some buzz around that. It's quite easy to kind of ride that wave for a period of time before you really have a realization that you actually need to sit down and figure out a strategy that's longer term than just, you know, launch stuff on Product Hunt and and get some traffic. What in the early stages of a SaaS company, what should a marketing organization look like to you when it's perhaps like one or two people, pretty early stage, maybe some initial traction and like working towards product market fit?
It really depends on the product. It depends on the founders, depends on the know-how, that the experience and the background they've come in with. But I always will say that having, you know, somebody to sort of own that strategy that isn't a founder is so, so valuable. You know, like we've said, it's rare that the founders will have that marketing experience. Even if they do have that marketing experience and background, chances are they don't have the bandwidth to support or mentor somebody who's at the sort of junior or mid-level, which is, let's face it, the majority of marketers who are put in place at startups are at that mid-level. And so that's actually exactly why we created Forget the Funnel, because we knew that there were exactly marketers in that situation who weren't being properly supported. So I would say marketer definitely needs to be in place, somebody to own that strategy, and that founders got to empower them and get out of their way. And there's a lot of ways to empower them, and, you know, happy to dive into that. But really letting that marketer own the strategy is a really important part of the equation that is most often not there.
Yeah, I think you mentioned mentorship, which I think is a huge piece of that. And personally, having kind of moved from, you know, a medium-sized tech company to a pretty much day one startup, that was something that I completely lost. And I think everybody that moves to a company that size loses that. How did you both kind of, did you have a strategy for finding mentorship and kind of nurturing relationships with mentors?
I'm happy to answer that. But unfortunately, I have to admit, it's something that I did really poorly.
Okay.
Something that, and of course, hindsight's 20/20, right? Like we look back at what we did 3 years ago or 5 years ago or 8 years ago, and we're like, if I had only known then what I know now. Like you described, Ed, coming in as someone to a company that was so early stage and having, you know, a director title, I was very insecure about what I didn't know, which I now realize was not necessary. To back up for a minute to the question you previously asked, which is what should that person look like, or what should a marketing department look like in an early stage company? I have this impression that I needed to know everything, and I needed to understand how to do everything, which was incorrect. I had been brought on because I had a certain set of skills, and I could have been much more effective if I had used those skills, but then sought out more mentorship and sought out more help in the form of agencies or freelancers or an intern, whatever it may be, to fill some of the other gaps for me. What I did pretty well when I was in-house was develop a network, but it was primarily with people who were my peers. So it was other early stage marketers at other young companies. And so there was a lot of camaraderie, and I definitely didn't feel alone in that I was the only one in this role, but I did definitely lack the insight from a senior leader that I know I would have been 10 times more effective in my role. And it actually wasn't until I left my in-house role and I started consulting, and I was responsible for really building my own business model that I sought the input of people who I wanted to be like. It really wasn't until then that I reached out to folks in my network and said, "Hey, I'm bringing on clients, and this is working well, and this piece isn't working well. Do you have you struggled with this in the past?" It disappoints me now, looking back, that I didn't feel comfortable doing that when I was in-house, because I had so much more fears around looking like I didn't know what I was doing. But I think maybe this is becoming maybe there's more light being shed on this now, or it's less strange to, it's more common to say this, but I hadn't, you know, it wasn't really drilled into me yet that the successful people in any field are those who ask advice of those who are senior to them. Everyone gets help from someone. I spent a lot of time worrying about how bad I would look before really seeking that out, which was honestly to my own detriment. But Gia, again, your experience in that early stage role is different from mine. So you may have other insight.
It's funny, exactly the same though. I also didn't seek out mentorship in any sort of formal way. You know, casual conversations, one-offs, but nothing recurring, nothing super deliberate. I say that though, having being a marketer at a marketing software company. So the people within the company, I had lots of marketing mentorship or people to learn from internally. Actually, I remember when I joined, I had been working with SaaS companies for a couple of years before I joined, but I remember the feeling of dealing with clients, and I was like, I'm the only one who knows what I'm talking about, to going to a company like Unbounce, and I was like, oh my God, I'm the only one who doesn't know what I'm talking about. Everybody here is brilliant, and I have so much to learn, and I was so grateful that I was like surrounded by such smart, talented people. But what I regret now, similarly to you, is that, you know, in retrospect, I should have sought out mentorship on the leadership and scaling and building a team, sort of more ops side of things. I had a lot of inspiration for marketing strategy and thinking sort of strategically, but the more ops side of things, I remember feeling very underprepared for building a team, being responsible for people's professional development. I was all of a sudden the mentor and I needed to sort of fill that role. So similarly, I was like, what am I going to do now? Seek a mentor when people are looking to me for mentorship. It just felt like, whoa, I skipped a step somewhere.
Yeah.
So it was like, it was the ops side of things that I actually felt a little bit of like a pinch. And now I look back and I'm like, I should have been more proactive.
Yeah. That's a scary point when you realize that people start looking to you for guidance and you still don't feel quite like you know what you're doing yourself.
I think everybody sort of feels that way at every stage, honestly.
Yeah. Many of the founders I talk to spend hours logging into different applications or poring over Excel sheets to understand the health of their SaaS business and get to the root of issues like churn. ChartMogul connects with your subscription billing provider, automatically calculates your key metrics, and turns them into investor-ready reports. As a result, founders can spend less time on reporting and more time focusing on growth. Start your free trial today at chartmogul.com. Yeah. Are there any like practical strategies or tips you would give to marketers in an early stage SaaS business? Like perhaps they're in this position that you described where they're kind of, you know, burned out, they're struggling with like the strategy of like their positioning of their role in the company, perhaps dealing with, you know, reporting directly to a CEO and kind of struggling with the dynamic of that.
Since launching Forget the Funnel, we ask, every time somebody signs up, we ask, what are you struggling with? What's your biggest struggle right now? And we've heard back from hundreds of marketers, and far and away, the top three that come up are the feeling of lack of like gaining trust and buy-in with their CEO. So feeling trusted and feeling empowered or feeling like their value within the company is really understood and sort of developing that level of trust that they can own their role. The other thing cited is lack of mentorship, which has already been talked about.
Right.
And then the other one was like being strategic thinking, or I'm being told to think more strategically. And so, to answer your question, I would sort of start with those three things because obviously they're the top of mind. Yes, there is tons of tactical, you know, detail that we could easily, you know, talk about for hours on end. But I think on the sort of advocating for marketing, especially being a non-technical person, typically within a tech company, that comes with a completely unique set of challenges that it's really easy to forget the challenges that go along with that. And so, yeah, I would say that like self-advocacy, you know, getting to that sort of higher level of thinking more strategically. Again, I'm not saying that to be sort of like, to be funny, but really forcing yourself to think more strategically and get out of the weeds, because in early days, as we all know, and we've all experienced, even not in only early days, but it can feel like you're a chicken with your head cut off. It can feel like, you know, I used to say, I do chicken with my head cut off marketing, because it was just like panic. Results are expected. It's very high pressure. There's a lot on the line for your boss. So you feel a lot of pressure to perform. And so it can be very easy to get lost in execution and buried under those weeds. And so to come up for air and think strategically can do a lot for your position within the company, rather than just being the person who, you know, you're not a short order cook. You should think of yourself as the owner of this function, of this very valuable, pivotal role within this tech company, and really see yourself that way. So actually the first thing we tend to talk about is like mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely within the content space as well. Like one thing I saw was that there is some time and effort that's required to kind of get this wheel turning when you're talking about like a content machine and seeing the impact of that. And so the first, you know, even 6 months to a year can often be just like a big grind. It's like,
totally,
there's not much alternative than just getting your head down and you know, putting stuff out there, because if you don't mm-hmm. have the content in the first place, there's not, you don't have much to play with. But at the same time, it can be very easy to just stay with that and to run mm-hmm. with it and to actually forget to pick your head up and take like a high level view, as you said. So mm-hmm. yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I want to ask a question. It's a bit of a different angle, but I'm sure a lot of people have already asked you this. What's wrong with the funnel? Why should we forget about the funnel?
So in one sense, you could argue that there's nothing wrong with the funnel, because whether you call it a funnel or you plan your marketing along a customer journey or what, they're all just models, right? They're all just structures through which to see how your customers evolve and how you meet their needs. Why Gia and I have gravitated away from the idea of a funnel is that a funnel is so heavily focused on acquisition. It's so much about, okay, how do we get leads into this pipeline, and how do we push them from one phase of the pipeline to the next phase, and how do we get them to become customers? And then once they're customers, how do we go get more leads again? And it really seems to, the idea of a funnel seems to kind of deprioritize existing customers and how much there is to learn from those people, first of all, and also how much there is to be gained from really nurturing your existing customers, whether that's by using them, you know, using your relationships with them to create new collateral, so case studies and blog posts and things like that. Or also, in terms of increasing customer LTV, the idea of a funnel kind of ignores the process of marketing new features to your existing customers, or figuring out ways that you can increase the number of licenses that a customer purchases after a year. So it's so focused on the top or the beginning of the customer journey, and it kind of leaves the end of the customer journey, so to speak, just hanging, which really, to me, and Gia, you can agree or disagree, to me, it furthers the stereotype that marketing is one thing and then product is another thing, where in reality, the experience that I've had in the world of SaaS is a friend of ours, Hannah Abaza, she's head of marketing at Shopify Plus, and she recently, we were on a call with her, and she used the phrase, everything is marketing, and marketing is everything. So marketing really is not just about how do we get leads into this funnel and give them to sales, or get them into a trial and make them customers. Marketing continues to be the experience that your customers have with your brand, whether they've been paying you for a month, whether they're in a trial and they haven't paid you yet, or whether they've been a customer for 5 years. It's how well you communicate and how you make this customer feel when they get an error message in the product. It's the experience they have when they are you know, having an issue and they're searching your knowledge base, or they're interacting with your support team. All of it, in a sense, even though that doesn't often fall under the umbrella of marketing, it's really all connected. I've kind of put down the mental model of funnel, and I've adopted more of a mental model of customer journey. So mm-hmm. the phases that someone goes through are a bit more linear, in that it starts with this person being totally unaware that they have a problem in the first place. Eventually, they reach a point in life at which they become aware that they have a problem. The way that happens can be, let's say if it's a B2B product, for example, they may be taking on a new project at work and realizing, oh my gosh, this part of my job is really hard. So they become aware that they have a problem, and then they start seeking solutions, and they're learning about different ones, and they're learning about the pros and cons of each and the different feature sets of each. And they finally reach yours, and they get into the trial, or they get on a demo with sales, or whatever it may be. Let's say things go great and they become a customer. To really retain that person and hold on to the revenue that they've generated, you have to think about marketing to them for the rest of that customer lifetime. Like it really doesn't just drop off now that they've become a customer. And Gia, please feel free to chime in. That's, to me, what's broken about the idea of the funnel. It kind of cuts things off halfway through. Right. So if we think about marketing as something that's more holistic, then a marketer has that much more ability to work alongside the product team to develop new growth campaigns. And they have more ability to work alongside the customer success team, those post-sale teams that are just as important to generating revenue.
And I would add to that, part of the sort of funny part of saying forget the funnel is you're like, hey, well, if I'm forgetting the funnel, well, then what? And then that sort of opens the opportunity up for this customer journey or customer experience sort of development. And the process of developing that customer experience map or customer journey map, whatever you call it, is actually one of the most valuable things you can do as a company, not only as a marketer, to sort of unpack and discover opportunities that you wouldn't have seen otherwise if you were just thinking of your customers as these transactional, this transactional sort of relationship through a funnel. You get a bit deeper into that experience. You might, you know, there's lots of ways to do that. You can talk about jobs to be done, or you could talk about the different personas and how what their experience is with your company, not only your product, but with your company, and sort of unpack all those phases that Claire was describing, and really sort of get into the nitty gritty of really building empathy, not only for you, for your customers and potential customers, but also for your team and for the not only your marketing team, but the entire company. And then you can develop really meaningful KPIs at each of those stages, where they're centered not in those transactional moments, like a life cycle, but more in like, what is actually a meaningful KPI here? Yeah. What does being a customer really mean for us? It might not mean that they inputted a payment source, right? It might be that they've been with you for 3 months and they've done, you know, XYZ within your product, and you've seen, you know, a certain amount of engagement from them, and then you consider them having evaluated and have truly like activated or engaged with your product.
Yeah.
But truly the opening up marketing to think about it more like customer marketing instead of just acquisition marketing is like the heart of forgetting the funnel.
Yeah, I think so many people cling to that funnel model because it's so measurable. It gives them an easy way to say, okay, like we've got, this is a conversion rate here. Like it's increased this month. That's great. It's probably quite hard for people to see, okay, if we drop that, to see what they can really use in the way of metrics and KPIs. You mentioned there, I guess a lot of it is more around engagement. Do you have any other kind of examples or ways that you can actually measure this this approach?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, the typical sort of customer journey like example would involve awareness or discovery, the evaluation process, and then the sort of the customer sort of phase. And each of those three phases can be broken down in any number of ways. Sometimes companies have two stages within those phases. Sometimes they have three, depending on your product. Obviously, every company is a little bit different. And, you know, if you search customer journey maps on like Google Images, you will see a myriad of results. Like there are no two look the same typically. Mm-hmm. And so it really depends on your own product, your own, your customers, their experience, what they need at each of those stages, the adaptive path sort of customer experience mapping, I often refer to, which is you sort of unpack what they're thinking, feeling, and doing at each of those stages. A lot of the way that you'll do that is through customer research, and there are, you know, you could go really serious on the customer research, like at the scale that like Claire would do for like those high growth clients of hers, or you could do sort of the earlier stage, more MVP in the earlier days, because it can feel very sort of, that's, you know, yes, we'll do that eventually, or we'll get there one day, but we don't have the time to invest in that kind of thing. But so there are some quite simple MVP ways to get even a simple customer journey developed, so that yeah, you and your team are able to attribute meaningful metrics at each of those stages. It's really about, you know, understanding what your customers need at each of those stages. Evaluation, like awareness, you can sort of imagine that's typically where we think of marketing. Evaluation is really that, like they've had some sort of digital touch point with you, typically like your website or landing pages. But also part of the evaluation stage is that maybe that trial or that first 5 to 45 days with you, depending again on your product, that onboarding experience and moving them through from trial or trying your product through to activating or onboarded, whatever your sort of internal language is. There's a lot of ways to obviously describe this. And then when do you consider a customer loyal, or like, hey, they've seen the value, we've become indispensable to them, they are fully engaged. And then that would be that engagement sort of customer side of things. And then the last stage is often gets left off or deprioritized for acquisition, but that really the customer marketing side of things, the customer expansion and growth and loyalty and referrals and community evangelist, that side of the customer journey, which is often not on a marketer's, you know, plate typically. They're not typically told to focus on that kind of stuff. So it sort of it forces that entire journey to be really looked at for opportunities. And it's amazing once it happens. I always try to build up to that with all my clients. It doesn't always happen, but when we can get there, your marketing strategy becomes grounded in much more meaningful insight, and it's way easier for the people around you outside of marketing to be like, okay, I understand now. I get what they're trying to accomplish and why, because they also have that customer journey to sort of pull from.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think there's so much that can be done to help the rest of the organization understand that as well from an educational perspective.
So much.
Yeah. So you guys have done an amazing job of bringing together all of these influential SaaS marketers, and you have tons of sessions and educational content on Forget the Funnel. What are these guys all have in common? Like, what does a successful SaaS marketer do today that you think separates them from the rest?
I think it's a bit twofold. So in terms of, first I think I'll answer your question of what are they doing that makes them successful SaaS marketers? And what Gia and I have looked for when we bring on guests, is marketers who also really put the focus on who are our best customers and what's happening in their world. And how can we learn from them to then inform our marketing. So they're trying to very deeply understand who these people are. And when I say who these people are, I'm not thinking of marketers who say, okay, our ideal customer is SMBs. Like, okay, mm-hmm. There's so much there. But they're thinking through not just, you know, what's the company size we serve, but how great is the employee count there? How mature is the company that we're trying to serve, or what amount of funding have they taken on? Is there a certain revenue milestone they've already reached? And beyond that, who are the people inside the company who are making decisions? So who's the end user of our product, and you know, what kind of buy-in do they need to get from someone else within the company to move forward? Beyond those things, where does this person really spend their time naturally? Both in their free time, you know, are they spending time on Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever it may be? But more seriously, where do they spend time when they're looking for information? So are they going to the App Store? Are they asking friends for referral for, you know, good software products? Are they going to conferences or events or trade shows? Instead of basically, I think what I'm getting at is, instead of following whatever tactic seems most interesting and shiniest and newest on a blog post that they read recently, these marketers are really staying focused on where their ideal customer spends time and shaping a marketing strategy on that, which is really challenging. It's extremely challenging when we're in kind of a content overload phase right now. And I know we can discuss, yeah, you know, the state of content marketing probably for another hour. but we look for marketers who really maintain that focus on understanding their customer, because we believe and we've seen that that is a successful way to shape marketing. What we try to do when we bring smart marketers onto Forget the Funnel is not focus so much on how they execute a tactic. What we really hope to learn from them, and we hope that our audience can take away, is what frameworks are they using to develop their strategies or to interact with other team members? So the problem that we have seen, and I know Gia, you described these earlier, is really a lot of marketers, especially if they're one of the first at their company, a lot of marketers are struggling to get buy-in. and they're struggling to be effective, we're not trying to teach new tactics like here's how to be great at SEO or here's how to be a good writer. What we're really trying to teach is here's how to make the case for this marketing channel and here's how to demonstrate the results that you might get from it. Here's how to get buy-in from your CEO on your strategy, or here's how to even hone in and develop a solid one-page marketing strategy that other people can digest. So we try to give people who are in that marketing role in-house the tools they need to be more effective as leaders, not just become really, really great at specific channels. And Gia, if you can better define that, please feel welcome to.
No, I think you actually said that perfectly. What I would add is that the other thing that we think is helpful for these marketers is also the quick wins that sometimes you need in order to prove the value of a project or an upcoming project. And sometimes that does get tactical. So we've talked about like how to develop a value proposition. We've talked about like scrappy customer research, the sort of the startup way to do some of these really important, like strategically foundational sort of pieces that you would never get. And Claire, like you totally understand that struggle of the early stage startup being like customer research. That's not something that we can do right now. Like
we don't
do that eventually. Yeah, exactly. But there are ways to do it that are startup friendly and startup marketer and SaaS marketer friendly too, so that you can get some proof earlier on. And so as much as like they are, our guests are pro in the marketing space and really think strategically and have really interesting frameworks or ways that they approach things, especially from like a customer centric standpoint, but also from a advocating for marketing standpoint, the more operational side of things, again, like you mentioned, like thinking like a leader, thinking about the operational side of running a department. That's the other thing. We try to cover that as well as marketing strategy.
Yeah. And these things are so inherently evergreen as well, right? Like in a world where there, like you said, there are so many kind of quick wins, growth hacks, whatever you want to call them.
Right.
And yes, like those things are really shiny. we've all kind of fallen foul of following them. And they change, you know, almost on a weekly basis. There's always a hot new thing, but it really seems like what you're aiming to teach people will remain relevant for even years, I guess.
We hope so.
Yeah. Glad to hear that. It's true.
I want to be mindful of your time. I'm sure we could talk for a lot longer, but I just wanted to get your take on where you think marketing is going this year. Like there's so much buzz around things that are changing. I've seen a lot in recent weeks about, we've been talking about like content saturation for so long. The fight for people's attention, it seems like that might actually be, you know, finally starting to affect the ROI of content. People seem to be talking about that now. What do you see happening in the space at the moment?
The content marketing thing, it really depends how you define content marketing. To some degree, I mean, talking about, it's performance sort of decreasing. I guess it depends on how are you measuring marketing. Are you measuring it from an awareness standpoint, from a traffic standpoint, from a lead gen standpoint, or are you creating this content in a much more holistic way, like we were describing earlier, really about like the covering the entire customer journey? Because content marketing is really that entire customer journey. So how could you ever do away with content marketing? Content is everything. As you know, like everything is content and content is everything, is the same way as marketing is. So I feel like it's not something that's going to go away, though how people measure its success will likely change, or how they set goals around their content hopefully will change too. As opposed to it just being an acquisition or awareness grab, it can be used throughout the customer journey to provide value to those customers, and that's still content marketing.
Yeah. So in effectively people that are still thinking in this way and thinking through their strategy shouldn't really worry, because in taking that approach, they're still doing work that is valuable to the marketing organization.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on how you define content marketing. If we're talking about a blog, well, that's very different than talking about an onboarding campaign or building an onboarding experience or customer expansion. Obviously, that's two totally separate things. In my opinion, those are both content marketing, but they're very different. They're thought of very differently, especially by younger companies that have they don't look at marketing in the way that we're describing, right? They think of marketing as a funnel. They think of marketing that happens after product development, after that early sort of traction, something that, you know, tends to be undervalued as we've all sort of experienced at one stage or another in our career. So yeah, it depends on how you look at content marketing as a whole. But one of the things that, you know, always came up for me was like this question of paid media or paid acquisition strategy as being, you just do paid to what? Like you're paying for traffic to what? You can't not do content marketing. There isn't any such thing as no content. Your website, your sign-up experience, your onboarding experience, all of that is content to some degree. So you can't do, we're going to focus on paid acquisition this year. Well, what does that even mean?
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. There's so much more here that I feel like I want to go off and read for hours and hours. obviously, Forget the Funnel is a really cool resource for that, and I would encourage anybody to check it out. I would say probably even people outside of the marketing discipline could learn a lot from studying a lot of the sessions and the content that you have there. Is there anything outside of that you recommend for people that want to learn more about some of these approaches and strategies for marketing in SaaS?
So in terms of that, oh my goodness, there's so many different things. So because I am such a champion of customer research, I'm constantly looking for how I can really improve on my own research process, as well as how people can just get started. Because customer research is not often something that marketers go into their job thinking that they'll really need to focus on, and then they realize that it's so important. Some of my favorite resources for that, one is a book called When Coffee and Kale Compete. And it's all about how people, what is the benefit that they're getting from choosing this or that solution, and it's really about understanding how people make decisions. There's some very really good case studies of companies who went through customer research projects and completely revamped their positioning or their marketing strategy to great success. So it's a really interesting book, and I'm pretty sure the domain for it is just whencoffeeandkalecompete.com, and the digital version is free. So I'm a huge fan of that one. I'm also a huge fan, in going back to the idea of messaging and positioning being so important, of Copy Hackers. So Joanna Wiebe runs Copy Hackers, and she is the original conversion copywriter. Conversion copywriting being so important to creating successful landing pages or website pages, sign-up flows, even onboarding campaigns. So copyhackers.com has a ton of material on how to do that well. Once again, she's also a proponent of customer research. So I'm beginning to be a bit of a broken record. Gio, what about you? In terms of resources, where else can people learn more about this kind of holistic approach?
I really like Adaptive Paths. They have a free PDF called, I think it's called Customer Experience Mapping, if I'm not mistaken. It was a really great jumping off point for me. It's not long. It's not like painful or arduous to read at all. It's very simple, but it gives a really nice sort of framework for thinking about how to start the development process of something like that in your organization. That one is really great. There are so many. I don't have very many like de facto places that I go, you know, a day in and day out. There's lots of amazing content coming from Get Uplift, from Talia Wolf, about conversion rate optimization and thinking more on the optimization side of things, which is often feels unattainable to an earlier stage marketer, but it's totally doable. And she does a really great job there with content. Nicole Elizabeth Demaray as well talks a lot about customer success and product management. Really great resource as well. Her blog, Val, I don't even know how to pronounce her last name. Claire.
I believe it's, I know who you're talking about, Val. I, in my head, I pronounce it Geisler.
Okay. I've never asked her. I didn't ask her. She's actually doing something really interesting right now that I love. And she's unpacking onboarding campaigns from various software companies across the web. I know that she did a few of them. She's done a handful now. And I think today she's attacking Calendly, ironically.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
attacking in a good sense, right?
Yeah.
Well, like, yeah, exactly. So she's basically reviewing onboarding.
She's doing like a teardown of onboarding.
That's awesome.
Yeah, which is so great. It's, you know, similar to how like Ollie Gardner would do like landing page teardowns. She's doing onboarding campaign teardowns, which I think is great. And they're really good. And Ty at AppQs is also doing a lot of really cool stuff. The list is really long.
That's awesome. When can we expect the Forget the Funnel book to be available?
Book?
Yeah, I'm serious.
You know, it's funny. No time soon.
Okay.
But we did, Gia and I had, at the end of last year, we had, you know, kind of a planning, like a work intensive weekend, you know, where you get together and you're like, okay, not just what are we doing this month, but what are we really doing with this thing? Mm-hmm. And so we have an ideas parking lot in our project management system, and there's all kinds of things we'd like to do in there, this and that. Mm-hmm. And somewhere on there is book ?
Yeah,
so it's there somewhere. Okay.
Yeah, there is one thing that we actually haven't really talked about it. Other than the workshops that we do, and other than this like far away like book ? In our notes, is that we were trying to think of how, obviously we get the same sort of questions, we see the same struggles time and time again, and a lot of it is about like connecting the dots or how to build a strategy from the ground up and things like that. And so last year, actually, I was being reached out to a lot by VCs and investors in the SaaS space who were like, we know that these founders are not prioritizing marketing early enough. We want you to come in and like train our portfolio companies. And I was like, what am I going to do with this information? Cause like, it wasn't on my list of things top of my list of things that I necessarily wanted to do. But what Claire and I sort of identified was this need for a more, guided approach to a lot of this kind of stuff. And so we ran a beta last year of a training, dedicated purely to a marketer, that SaaS marketer, not open to founders, totally dedicated to that marketer, all these things, addressing all of the challenges that we've talked about over the last little while. And we ran an 8-week sort of beta version of this. We did it very hush-hush and we learned a ton, and it was amazing. And there was a lot of like really great takeaways from our students. They had a lot of success with it. And so we decided to do it again. So we will be launching another, we'll be opening the doors for that next month, right?
Oh my goodness. Yes. Cause now it's February.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. I think to summarize like the purpose of it, it's not so much to teach founders, here's how to do marketing. It's more for the founders who've brought on a marketer, that person is there because they're a key piece of generating revenue. Right. And if that person has been brought on and was brought on because they showed a ton of promise in a particular discipline, maybe they're a fantastic content marketer specifically, or they come from a paid ads background, whatever it may be, they may be an excellent specialist, but if they don't have the mindset that they're essential to the company's revenue, or if they're struggling to think like a stakeholder in the company, then there's going to be, they're going to struggle to bring in that revenue and to hit the results that, or to hit the targets the company needs. Mm-hmm. So the idea behind this training is really to help marketers think like high performers in a company and really develop a strategy and communicate that strategy well and foster good relations with their head of product, with other department heads, so that a marketer who's been brought on at a young company is not so much just, okay, go write a blog for us, but really is an asset to the company and someone who's going to own meaningful metrics.
Where can people go to find out about these things that you're involved with?
ForgetTheFunnel.com is where you can, where people can sign up for the free weekly workshops. And if you go to, right now there's just a waiting list page for the training, but it's, I believe, /SME.
Yeah, ForgetTheFunnel.com/SaaS Marketer Essentials.
Right.
And there's hyphens between those words. But yeah, that's where we're keeping the wait list right now for those who are interested in learning more once we open the doors. So with that said, yeah, I'll definitely send that link over.
Awesome. Gia and Claire, this has been really, really great to kind of get your expertise. And for two people that are so experienced in the marketing space, it's in some ways feels rather selfishly therapeutic for me, but I hope that this is really valuable for other people out there as well. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat.
Thank you so much for having us on. It really, really great to be a part.
Thanks.